This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
Hey, you with the iPod. You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 79. We're sponsored by YouBuyNow.com and Netflix.com, in case you were curious.
I got a Zoom.
Welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 79.
I heard a little Hank Pym in there.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Go ahead.
My name is Ron, and I'm here with
Connor
and Josh.
And we're from iFanboy.com. All right, we're from iFanboy.com.
Enough of that.
We like the comic books. We read the comic books, and each week one of us, we alternate, and one of us picks our favorite comic book that came out that week for whatever varying reasons that we don't need to justify with you.
I think we do.
Actually, we do. That's why we do the show.
I think that's the point of the whole thing.
So, and then every week we come on here to this year podcast and we talk about it. Kind of like therapy, but with comics.
And deep, deep resentment.
And so, but before we get started, I just want to remind you that we're going to talk about what actually happens in the books. Little spoilers and stuff, the things that actually, the events within the pages.
Otherwise, it would be a short show with all sorts of, like, you know, because that thing happened.
Right, it would be awkward. So if you haven't read your comics, press pause and come back when you have, god damn you. This week, Josh had the pick.
It was a week.
Yes, it was. Comics. they came out. I bought them.
There was a lot involved. After I read them, I had to sit down and have a think about what I would pick because
was it on the toilet when you had a think?
I didn't. I don't think I read any of these books on the toilet. No,
really.
That's not right.
No.
Jonah Hex. Anyway, I decided this week to go with Strangers in Paradise number 89, which caused no end of. I think we've upset the crowds 3 weeks in a row here.
Yeah, we have.
That's one for all of us. So nice work, people.
Is that the second to last issue?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I picked it. It's funny because people were up in arms saying, you know, 52, you should have picked that, which was because it was the end of that. And, you know, this, to me, was the end of something much more long-term and much more extreme.
Well, it's not the end.
It's not the last issue.
Right.
But, listen, and this is the deal. If you haven't read Strangers in Paradise or, like, you know, you're reading through it in trades now, right, you might want to skip 6, 8, 10 minutes ahead. Check the show notes. They'll say when we start talking about the next subject, but I'm going to have to talk about what happens.
And also, if you don't read Strangers in Paradise or you're just getting started, you don't understand.
Right. That's a good point. basically for, I don't know how many years, over 10...
93 years? No, it started in 93.
14 years now.
Yeah.
We've been watching Will They or Won't They, Francine and Cachou Get Together.
Well, 14 years, yeah.
And Francine and Cachou get together here, which is much more significant in my world and in probably in Ron's world. And of the 18 people reading this book, no.
No, way more.
What do you think he's got?
Thousands. Thousands.
Like
tens of thousands.
10, 20, 30, somewhere in
there. I'm not going to make sales guesses, but
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
it's enough to cause ripples in the comic
book. Certainly. Anyway, if you've been reading this a long time, it finally happened. Like, this is, like, you know, way more than Sam and Diane getting together or, you know, anybody. They got together. And at first I thought, oh, that was kind of non-plussed. It was just sort of happened. And then I thought, you know what? It made sense. In the terms of these characters and the way that their relationship goes, it happened in a way that made sense to me. And I really liked that. I was happy with it the more that I thought about it. But I will say I did have to think about it. I got through it. About halfway, there was a scene in the beginning, and I wrote about this, where they reenacted the scene from Good Will Hunting.
I think it was on purpose?
I don't know. Yeah. I've decided that Terry Moore must have never seen that movie or wouldn't have done it word for word. Because what happens is it's just Tambi and she's telling Casey, who's freaking out, it's not your fault. Oh, and I have to do it in a Boston accent in my head. It's not your fault. And then she breaks down and sobs because she's capitulated and she's okay then. And I was like, that's really literally exactly the same as that movie. Yeah. And that's a scene I've laughed at a lot in my life. Connor really likes it. Either way, whether you like the scene or not, like, it stood out. I was like, what the hell was that?
Did you notice that, too, when you read it?
No, I didn't.
Did you see it now?
Yeah, no, I saw it. When I read your review, I saw it. I got it. I laughed. Oh. No. I was too busy trying not to look like a weeping ninny on the train driving home.
I want to get to that, because that's really interesting to me, because I wanted to know what you thought about it, because it wasn't straightforward. It wasn't like, the thing is, if you wait for lovers to get together for 14 years, like, you expect there to be some big sweeping scene with you know, music and everything, and it didn't really happen like that. It happened kind of silly and kind of embarrassing, and Francine stripped all of her clothes off, and I believe these are the first nipples we've seen in a while.
In a while, not like, but Francine's, yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of odd. It struck me.
Well, the thing about that is that in the last half of the book, like, Terry just went for it.
I really got the sense, and I wrote this too, that, like, he had to get this out of him.
Yeah.
And it feels to me like even it was drawn really quickly and written really quickly, like, it was like, I need to get this on page and be done with it. Yeah. And it had this sense of rushing and like, let's do the thing. Did you get that too?
Well, I didn't get a sense of rush, but I definitely understand. I mean, like, I don't know if he had to get it out of him, but mm-hmm. I think that he got it out of him, like, he went for it. And, like, and, you know, and the thing is, like you said, you wait 14 years for lovers to get together. There was no, you know, like, piano music and sunsets and stuff like that. It was awkward and more arguing than loving, mm-hmm. but it was everything that these two would be.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, and why I said he went for it is that he allowed, you know, he had Francine strip, which is harkens back to the first issue, the first volume, when she found out that Freddie was her boyfriend at the time. Freddie was cheating on her, and she yelled at him, like, "What? I'm not enough." And she starts stripping, you know, mm-hmm. in public. And so it was the exact same scene, the exact same almost kind of angles and poses and everything. And but like he had her strip, you know, down to her panties, and we see Francine for the first time topless. So he kind of went for it. The fact that he threw a curse in there, they've been cursing in here before, but when Francine yells at Kachu and says, "You'll be so happy, you'll be shitting sunshine," I was like, "Ooh, he's." Had Francine curse.
I didn't notice that, but
yeah, he had Francine curse. I was like, "Whoa, that you know that was a, like it got the emotion across and the frustration and the because what happens is that you if you think about people and relationships in terms of like at least the way I in terms of this book I look at it is almost like planets orbiting and stuff like that and you're waiting for their two planets to kind of get in the same kind of rhythm type thing and for all 14 years they've always been at different rhythms where Francine wanted the perfect you know husband and to be a housewife and all that kind of stuff and Kachu knew that she wanted Francine then. Francine wanted Kachu, but Kachu didn't want her and all this kind of stuff. And you could see that the planets were coming close to each other, but it just took a little grabbing the other person and actually throwing your shoe at them and going, "Listen, I'm here." And, you know, and being able to get past all the shit that they've been through and see a future together. I mean, again, and fucking the last time this book came out, I was on the train reading
it. I remember that.
Stop reading it on the train.
It's, I don't know
don't
what the
read
hell
the
it
last
is.
One on the train.
Honestly, it's to the point where I, like, when I sat down on the train, and this is the first book I read, and I saw on the cover the countdown to final issue, and the countdown's down to one.
I know, I thought there was, like, two or three.
I just went, "God damn it." I was like, "God, no."
You're going
to
be a mess when the
one. You know, I had to, you know, it's like, it just, you know, it's killing me, and I don't know what I'm going to do with the last one, because this one got me, too. I was just like, "God
damn it." Well, and like I said, this is the end of that love story.
Yeah.
Or
it's just the beginning.
Well, no, but, like, it's the close of the thing.
I know.
He made eyes at me. and one of the, just the last thing is, God, I'm going to miss his drawing.
Well, he's not going to stop.
Yeah, but we're not going to see it for a little while, is my guess. I mean, maybe he's got the next thing, but I'm guessing he's going to take a little while, either off, I would imagine.
I would hope he does.
And then, like, some time to develop whatever it is he's doing.
Right, yeah.
The last time we talked to him, we didn't really know what it was going to be, and I didn't get the sense that he really did either.
Yeah.
But like, and when I say it was rushed, I didn't want it to sound like the art was bad. There was urgency to the drawings, and I think if you look at the very first section, which is basically an argument between Tambi and Casey, or not an argument, whatever it is, like all the lines are really crisp and strong, and it's very precise cartooning. And then as you get to the second half, where they're sort of in nature, like it's just a little more sketchy, and it's a little like urgency is a really good word for it because rushed makes it sound like it's bad, but it's not.
I guess I could see that. I don't know. There's a couple pages towards the end that I thought were lighter than the other ones.
Yeah, and that's kind of it. The other part is if you look through it, having read it, I don't need to read the words.
Yeah.
You can look by the motions on their faces as they go back and forth and the things that are happening.
Yep.
You can tell exactly what is happening.
Yep.
You can tell the moment that they go from having a fight to making up to being happy. And it's like there's that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
Really, really good. I'm very satisfied with where it is. I'm going to be all upset when it's over.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just ripping my heart out, Terry Moore.
Do you think there's any chance at all that his next thing is going to be any good?
I think so.
I mean,
it depends on what it is.
It's hard to say. Like maybe it will be good, but it will be good to a completely different type of reader.
Yeah,
if that makes what I mean. Like it's hard to say.
He's gonna do some historical fiction, actually. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. So
delicious.
No, this is good. I was glad to see you pick it. I don't know. I don't actually know if it would have been my pick, but I don't know what would have been my pick this week. But it was
nothing. Nothing else felt nearly as significant.
It just pummels me. Punches me.
Well, if you're sitting there weeping on a train while reading it, how could that not be your pick of the week?
Right, no, I know. Probably. It probably would have been. I was tempted to go at 52.
Granted, I've seen him read Newsweek and cry like a little girl.
I never read Newsweek, you know that.
I know.
You know Newsweek killed my dad.
I don't
dad.
Know what the news... That's awful. I wasn't sure if there was going to be some pressure to pick 52, issue number 52.
Well,
why would there be pressure?
Because we're at the end of the road after a long year. I can't believe it's been a year.
Let me tell you why I didn't.
I didn't realize it came out on 5/2.
I had to think about smile.
Why?
That's really interesting.
It came out on May 2nd.
I don't know what happened. I mean, I kind of do, but at the same time, like, what I really enjoyed about 52 was all the various different stories.
Yep.
And those have already wrapped up.
Like, this was more of the epilogue issue.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't pick it. I don't really care about this part of it. I cared about the character part of it. This part.
But this was the whole gist of everything. This was it. This is the Infinite Crisis tie. This is the.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of important things that happened in the book. But last week was really the end. This was
well, Connor, you're a resident DC guru.
Well, I think what you get in this book is you have
Wildstorm is a multiverse.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, they've crossed over with it.
Yeah,
you've got the Rip Hunter and Booster Gold, who take a trip through the multiverse to basically set the status quo, the new status quo for everybody. Yeah. And really, it's an overview. Mm-hmm. You know, it was good, but it's an overview. And that's what you get. You get Rip Hunter showing us, through Booster Gold, what the new world is like.
Yep.
And we visit the different Kingdom planets. Come world and the Earth 2 world, which I guess is back, and the Wildstorm world, and the Uncle Sam world, and the Marvels world, and the Charlton world. I mean, there's, you know...
Yep. And the bad, the evil... What are those called? Like the evil Justice League or whatever they are?
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. No, I'm not going to go out on a limb. I'm just going to make a statement that I like the multiverse. I'm a big fan of the multiple Earths.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I mean, on a certain level, if it lets them tell more stories, that's fine.
Yeah.
But they did do a whole thing so that they could stop it.
Yeah. Well, the problem was it got too unwieldy.
Right.
What's to say it's not going to happen that way again? Just because more... Especially now, I would think, I don't know, because in 1985 I was like 10.
Right.
Not 10, was 8. I can't do math. I would imagine people weren't as continuity freakish as they are now. I can't imagine them being any more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think if you've got that many worlds, it's going to be really hard to keep it rain on everything.
Right.
But I don't really dislike it as much as I'm just worried because I know what happened the first time.
My favorite part of this book was the scene between Booster and Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they sort of, Beetle didn't really know him, and it was sort of a touching little moment.
Also, the last crisis, Ralph and Sue floating away together.
Yeah.
Is that their ghosts?
I guess their souls or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I liked the question handing Gotham back to Batman.
Yep.
That was I mean, this was full of nice touches.
Yep.
But there wasn't like an issue here.
Well, that's exactly why. Like, right. I was kind of hoping like it would be great if this was the blow me away issue, but it really wasn't. And that's not to say it was bad. It just was this the best thing I read this week? No, it really
wasn't.
You
know what this was? This was the last 5 minutes of Return of the King.
That's a good
point.
This
was watching everybody and this is where they go, and this is where the elves go, this is where the hobbits go.
Because the real story still has already finished. So
the real story is over. This is now you just know where everybody ends up, and this is the story wrapped up last week, and now we're just seeing, all right, here's where Steel is, and here's where the question is, and here's where Booster is.
Do you see what the title is?
What, A Year in the Life?
A Year in the Life, which is a play on the Beatles' Day in the Life, and they were the Beatles of comics.
Oh, good point, yeah. I still say they're the Traveling Wilburys of comics. As opposed to the Beatles.
At the end of the whole event, I'm going to go ahead and give them the Beatles now, because I think they pulled it off in a way that I didn't expect them to.
Yeah, but it's not the fucking Beatles.
Well, that would be... Who would that be?
That has never been.
You know what?
Happened.
You're right, because the Beatles were not all superstars when they got
right,
together.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
No, Traveling Wilburys.
Traveling Wilburys either, because they were all celebrities when they got together too.
No.
You're right.
The Beatles were unknowns when they got together, and they made amazing stuff. The Traveling Wilburys were all well known, got together, did some good stuff. Nothing amazing.
However,
the first album was very, very good.
Yeah, it was very, very good. But
this is not a place the podcast.
Now we're on a music podcast.
But I would say that this is among recent comic events. This has been
first of all.
Yeah,
we should
but
give
it's
them...
definitely the Traveling Wilburys, though. Yeah. Absolutely,
we should give them a lot of respect for. Being lonely.
they broke.
Ruck is Roy Orbison. What?
Who's
everybody?
Doing?
I don't know.
Well, maybe at some point in the future we'll do a strong overview of this.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Possibly. A lot of respect for getting it out on time every week.
Yes, I know. They get all the, you know, Steve Wacker and the new Steve Wacker, Michael Siglin, get all the credit from it.
Siglin, the new Steve Wacker.
Get all the credit. And that was nice to see a little, you know, a special thanks to Steve Wacker. That was nice.
You know what?
All the credit for getting it done and getting it produced. We didn't think, we thought they'd miss a week, and they didn't. 52 weeks in a row, I got to tip my hat to them.
What was it that Keith Gibbons said? In your face.
Exactly. But
This was 1 year of our lives.
That's freaking crazy.
Like, I felt like it just started.
Yeah,
and that's scary because...
But oddly enough, I don't look at my stack of 52 books the same way that I looked at World of Warcraft. So...
So the 52 were the Earths. Were the multi...
Different Earths, yeah.
Yeah, that kind
which
of...
is a lot less than
that
World
kind of wasn't a payoff.
So, no.
But... Whatever, and the the football thing was kind of a little annoying.
That was stupid.
Yeah, but whatever.
Did you like the very that they had various artists?
I love that. I thought it was great. I thought
it would tie it all together at the end.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, honestly, it was really, really good. And I think 52 was a success. I liked it.
Yep.
I enjoyed it.
Are you all in for Countdown?
I'm in for Countdown.
I am for now. I'm like, oh god, I thought I was going to be done with this, but they
were smart
enough to figure out, like, wait a minute, if we keep doing this, they'll buy it.
I used to love Marvel Comics Presents. Yeah. That was weekly or bi-weekly.
I wish they'd still stick with $2.50. I don't know what that extra 50 cents just...
Yeah.
50
yeah.
cents.
Yeah.
It's not even a stick of gum.
But it made me feel better that they made this $2.50, because then the whole month was $10.
Yeah.
So I can, all right.
I don't know. I think the writers. Yeah, whatever. We'll talk about Countdown when Countdown comes out.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Shazam: The Monster Society of Evil number 3. This was an interesting one. I really liked the first Shazam.
The first issue. Yep.
I thought the second one was awful.
Yeah.
I literally fell asleep while I read it.
Yeah.
I really liked this one.
I liked this one.
Yep.
Really?
I had a lot of fun reading it.
Yeah, me too.
This was back to the first issue that was fun.
Yeah, I felt like it was getting rolling and it was,
I guess I felt kind of ambivalent about it.
Yeah.
In that, like, I enjoyed the first one enough. The second one, I didn't really know what to make of. And this one, I was like, I'm at this point, I don't really care, I guess.
Well, I think for me, the only question mark I have is issue 3 or 4, and I really don't know what the plot is.
Well, it's what are these big
things?
What
are these big things?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's only one issue left to really...
Yeah, to wrap it up, yeah.
I feel like it's gonna be very, very much of a... I don't want to speculate in the fourth one, but... I thought it was fun. I mean, I think I don't like this version of Mary Marvel. I think she's annoying and stupid. And since the second issue was all
he
about
also her, hates children.
It was all about her.
yeah.
Then I thought that's why the second issue suffered so much. But this one was fun.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Now one of the things that came up about this issue that I noticed is that there was sort of a political doctrine of sorts.
There's a parodying of our current political situation.
Yeah.
See, I didn't get that at all. I didn't feel that was at all relevant.
Well, the Department of Heartland Security.
Well, that's
yeah.
I mean, that's
kind of a tongue in cheek,
I mean, it's Dr. Savannah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not
yeah.
like it's Dr.
Yeah.
Cheney.
Right.
No,
yeah.
it's not even close to anything. Other than calling it Heartland Security, he's not. Yeah. I didn't get at all a parallels to our current.
I think it's I think it's playing off of our current environment, and that's where it. I mean, Josh, you might have read more into it than we did, but
yeah, I mean, it's possible. I just kind of. Like, I thought about this as just being a really simple sort of story that anybody can enjoy, and I
agree with it. I thought what it is now is not what I thought it was going to be.
And I really liked that it was that, because we've had enough people ask us what books they can buy for kids.
Yeah.
And I never have enough answers.
So you wouldn't recommend
them.
This for kids anymore?
No, I don't know what it was, so that's kind of lame, but there was a moment in here where I thought, oh, that's not good for kids.
Yeah.
Some sort of sexual reference or something like that, and that's just... I thought this was going to be like an all-ages book when it first started, but it's not. It's not, which is fine. I don't mind, but it's not what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. The bad guys, they kick their asses.
Yeah, but there was something else.
But there was just this thing about, like, go fight the terrorists and stuff like that. And it's just like some... There's places to do that, and I don't know. It didn't feel like it fit here, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, far be it for me to say you shouldn't do, you know, right, you know.
Yeah.
I am, but it just fell out of place in this one.
I mean, if anything, I just thought it fit into the vernacular of our time.
Yeah, it's more vocabulary. I think the villain is so goofy. He's a 4 foot tall, you know,
midget.
Bald dude with big glasses. He's not even close to being anything you could
make
an allegory towards anyone in the current world.
Well, let's take allegory a little further. And just really quick, I wanted to go. Are we done with that?
Sure.
Okay. A lot of books. The Avengers: The Initiative number 2, which had a very real George
allegory.
W. Bush show up in the book.
That's not allegory so much as it is sledgehammering over your head with.
Yeah.
I liked this issue.
Did
I had
heck of a
fun
job
with
Pimmy?
It. But I hated that part.
Did you say that, really?
Yeah.
Heck of a job, Pimmy.
You're doing a heck of a job, Pimmy.
Basically, this felt like Dan
Slott.
This was Dan Slott saying, I can write George W. Bush and you're going to be really funny. And that ticked me right the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I really liked the rest of this. I had fun with it. I thought the make scary guy people, whatever his name is, Trauma.
Oh, yeah, and yep.
I liked how he affected the different people
that
and how
great.
He affected Hank Pym.
Yep.
And it was a lot of fun, and they just threw everybody into it, and that was the stuff was going down. But the George Bush showing up in the middle of it, like, and it was him writing George Bush as you would write him, like, for a Saturday Night Live sketch, kind of.
I get the fact that, you know, Marvel's in the real world, and George Bush is the president, and it's a government agency, so he'd be there, but I didn't buy the book. But I read some of Josh's copy, and I just, like, this is too ham-handed.
I didn't get the same SNL vibe from you as the Bush thing, but I did roll my eyes, and I just kind of moved past it very quickly. I guess it's good, but, like, it ends on a cliffhanger, and I just went, ugh, Because it ends. Yeah, I mean, that's the point of it, you know? But I was just.
It's like, let me introduce you, your new private tutor. And there's nobody there. And they say something at some point. Actually, the clue is, as a bodyguard, since M-Day left me without my powers. Right. So it's somebody who used to be a mutant who's lost their powers.
Right. I would have liked to have seen maybe a full page reveal and then end. That would have been enough of a cliffhanger. You know,
well,
like,
that's not a cliffhanger, then. That's...
Well, yeah, well, no. The context of why and what's going to happen and stuff like that.
Well, no, you want to know who's going to
be. Speaking of why, that's like what you're describing is exactly what happens in A Why the Last Man. You turn that last page. The last page shows you who it is. But what's going to happen? Why is that significant? What is it? I guess we'll never know. Or like in JSA. But I guess, you know, that's the way that it's normally done is how you're saying.
Yeah.
And this was... This certainly makes me want to check out what the next issue
is. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, exactly.
So in that sense, it worked. Anyway.
Yeah.
Astonish me.
Astonish you with Astonishing X-Men. It was another Whedon week, by the way. Did you know Whedon had...
Three books.
Buffy came out.
Yeah.
And Runaways, yeah. So of the Whedon week, this Astonishing was the one that we decided to talk about here. It's just good. It just continues to be good.
This was a little more to me like one of those earlier ones when I was reading, and I didn't really know what was happening.
Oh no! This is like the action's happening. I mean, this is.
I've been reading comments about it and things like that. It feels like there's two minds of this.
Yeah.
And I think X-Men people and people with more of a, you know, knowledge of what's going on are like really digging this, and those of us who don't have quite as full a knowledge of it.
It's Connor shaking his head.
What does that mean?
That means I really loved it. I have no.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, I feel like I know what the story is. They're on this world. They're trying to find what's going on with Colossus. They're trying to stay alive, and that's what we all need to know. It's just he nails all the characters.
He did.
And I feel like the art in this is better than it normally was for some reason.
Yeah, the art was really good in this issue.
You know what's weird to me is I'm still not used to Cyclops without a visor.
Yeah, no, I know.
So it's like...
It's hard.
Who's that guy?
It's just like, that's Cyclops. Like, it's just weird.
The dialogue...
He should be really pale here.
Jesus.
No, because he's got no sun around his eyes.
He wears glasses. He takes the visor off. But I thought the dialogue in the beginning amongst the team was really good because what I think is going on, what's going on with this story, with this particular story arc, is that they go off into space and they're really doing well. The team and getting separated and getting back together and then separating again. You know, similar to it happened in Star Wars all the time when they would, at one point they all separated and they all came back and they all separated. And, and I thought like when
you're going to die here, you know.
exactly. Don't get me into that scene. And like when Wolverine, it looks like Wolverine's got a new teenage girl.
Uh-huh.
Which is weird.
Exactly. It's another Asian.
But
girl.
You know what?
Yeah. He's replacing Jubilee.
Is it just me or is Wolverine with his little girl thing? Like, it's never a weird sexual thing, though.
No, it's never.
Because when you say it's a little weird, that implies that. But they've never, ever implied that about Wolverine.
Yeah,
for some reason.
No.
He seems to mentor teenage girls.
Right, exactly, which is bizarre. But, and then the Colossus. Colossus is a kitty. Yay! Kitty got naked.
Is Colossus going to not come back from this?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I don't think that they... is this canon or not? I don't know. I don't even know.
What do you mean?
Is this real? Like,
yes.
Is this in continuity?
Yes.
Well, because, I mean, was this the book that brought Colossus back?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it would be odd to kill him again.
Has he showed up anywhere else?
No.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, none of these characters have. Except for Cyclops and Emma. And Kitty.
Wolverine. And everybody else but Cyclops.
That's a good point.
With Beast. Colossus. Beast is in Initiative.
Beast in Initiative.
Yeah, the only person who never used any... So he might have...
Fascinating.
He might not be coming back from this one.
I think that would be kind of a waste.
I do too, especially after bringing him back. Remember when
came
back?
To bring him back,
freaked out when he came back.
Yeah.
Were we doing the podcast back then or no?
Yeah, we were.
Were we?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember freaking out.
We've been doing the podcast for 79 weeks.
Holy shit, that's the longest I've done anything.
Scott Lobdell kill him?
I don't know if Lobdell wrote it.
I think he did.
The Legacy Virus Cure? So stupid. It has to be airborne. It has to be injected in somebody, but they'll die.
Okay.
It was awful. It was awful.
Let's not get him down that rabbit hole.
That was awesome. I want to keep doing that. I want to keep baiting him like that.
So,
Checkmate number 13, which was the first issue of the Checkmate Outsiders
which
crossover.
I didn't realize was called the Checkout crossover. Where they just swoosh their logos together.
Unfortunate name choice, I think.
it's such a marketing thing. Let's call it Checkout.
Yeah, but that means leave.
Exactly.
Do you read The Outsiders?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't understand why this is happening.
Well, this has been building for a while. There have been some mentions between the two books. The Outsiders, I guess it's not really in this one, but The Outsiders was a rogue. They were a team. They faked their own deaths.
Okay.
in the Infinite Crisis, in the missing year, they fake their deaths to become come back as a rogue superhero force that goes in and takes out dictatorships, and
but
they go
with Nightwing though.
Yeah,
I wouldn't think Nightwing would do that.
Yeah,
seems out of character.
It's a little out of character.
Okay, is it Jason Todd?
No, it's Grayson.
It's Jed Winnick's fault, really.
It's a little bit out of character. Okay. But they're a rogue. They're under the radar. They do shit that superheroes aren't supposed to do. They don't kill people, but they get their hands dirty. They don't react. They proact.
Yep.
Checkmates hit them on their radar because they're causing international incidents. They blew up a country or government or something.
Okay.
So this is they're coming to a head now. Now Checkmate's finally decided to take down the Outsiders.
All right, cool. So now that that's what I kind of figured, and I thought this was pretty good.
I'm hoping that this is an issue that gets this book more notice.
Yeah,
I don't know that Outsiders has a much bigger audience, but
well, I think the iFanboy stance on Checkmate is that if you're not reading this, you should, regardless of anything else you read, you don't need to be steeped in DC history or superheroes or anything like that. This is good, or like you know, pro Queen of Country
just come,
kind of stuff.
You just come here. After you've read it, and we'll talk about it, and then I will ask the questions that you're thinking of. Wait, who was that guy?
Yeah,
why did this happen?
Well, it still cracks me up on the intro page when there's like 14 people and who they are, and it still bothers
it's
me.
It's still a little hard to remember the Black Queen's bishop. Like
when they're like, Black Queen agrees with White Queen's bishop, and it's like, oh, I can't do it. When they talk like that, it gets bizarre.
I have a strong dislike of crossovers like this.
Yeah.
I can't stand having to go start to buy another issue, another series.
So that means you won't be buying Outsiders 47?
Yeah. I haven't decided.
This is an old school crossover.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I get it. I know why they do it. I know it's important and need to have a bigger audience or whatever. But I just, there's like, in my mind, there's always, it was like an Avengers crossover. I don't remember what it was, but it was within the last 5 years where like, I had to buy Quicksilver number 7. Yeah. And that just pissed me off like that I had to do that. I don't like, I'm buying this series.
It's only 2 extra books though.
I get that, but I buy a lot of books.
But I imagine you don't have to. I mean, I bet you if you don't buy The Outsiders...
I barely knew what was happening in this one.
I think you're going to have to.
But the thing is, I barely know what's going on in Checkmate as it is, and I still like it, though.
Right.
Yeah, so.
No, I didn't... I mean, like, it wasn't bad, I guess. I didn't really know what was happening because I didn't know who any of the characters were.
Yeah.
You know, it was well done. It didn't seem like it was a bad comic.
Yeah.
I just want to read this book.
So just read it.
Well, I can't.
You can.
I think you're going to have to. It's going to be linear. Really? It's going to be linear.
Well, let's find out. Like, don't buy Outsiders. You buy Outsiders, and then we'll circle back and we'll decide.
Especially since Winnick and Ruck are writing each issue
together. Yeah, they're writing them together. It's on the cover even.
Yeah.
It's going to be integral, I think.
Because like at the end of it, I don't want to pick up another series. I tried Outsiders when it came out. I didn't really like it. You know.
I guess what I'm saying is that you probably don't have to.
Although it looks like next
Jabbar O'Connor's issue,
it looks like the next issue is going to be the big like Dick Grayson Sasha scene.
But she lured him there,
which is what she knew.
No, at some point she said,
"He'll come find me." She knew he was coming.
Yeah,
but she didn't know when.
Yeah. I think that. See, I think that she. I think that she planned it from the whole thing. That's what I get. I think she's damn good at this stuff, and she waited for him to get there, and that's how he got in and everything. I imagine you like this because it was.
There was a lot of good
old-fashioned dick.
And Connor likes the
deep dick.
Oh, because we're 12.
No, but
okay.
I mean, I think next issue is going to be the big, like, first ever Nightwing Sasha talk about Batman stuff, which might be interesting. Which you might find interesting.
Do you really think that'll happen?
They said that's in the interview for Checkout. They said one of the great things was that Nightwing and Sasha have never talked about the fact that she knows who Batman is, and she was dating Batman, and she loved Batman.
So she must know who he is.
Probably, but they've never actually talked before.
That's interesting.
So that's what they're looking forward to writing that scene. I think
that is interesting. I like that last page. It's real nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just hope that this brings more people to the book.
Yeah but does the Outsiders have that big of an audience?
No,
either?
But it can't be that much smaller than Checkmates.
Did you hear that Greg Rucka was saying that somebody told, I think it was on one of those things, that he said somebody was telling him that he's like, it's really complicated, and he hadn't realized it, and he's like, maybe that's what's keeping people away.
So speaking of crossovers, World War Hulk began this week in the Marvel world, and now I know up to this point we haven't really paid Hulk any mind, really, with the whole Planet Hulk and stuff like that. Didn't read it.
Right.
I figured it's just Garning. I'll give it a shot. I'll take a look at what came out this week. World War Hulk prologue came out, which was like an issue that you guys
Peter David wrote it, didn't he?
Yeah, Peter David wrote it. That pretty much wrapped up and summed up everything that's been happening for the past year with the Hulk. And then Incredible Hulk 106 came out. And
before you get started,
yeah,
I was 2 seconds away from buying those two comics. I had them both in my hands at the store.
Yep.
And I went, I was so close to buying them.
My message to you guys is that if you're not reading this, it looks like you're going to be missing out. Because this looks like it's going to be a shitload of fun.
Yeah, I'm getting that feeling, and I might go back and buy this.
The prologue summed up everything that happened, and essentially all you need to know coming out of the prologue is that Hulk... We know Hulk got sent away by the Illuminati. That's probably where you last remember. Yeah. Illuminati put him in the ship and sent him off because he was too much of a thing.
Uh-huh.
He went to a planet. He became a gladiator. He conquered the planet, took a queen, and so now he's pissed and he's coming back. And Prologue Hulk just has a big spaceship full of his little alien buddies who he threw over that other planet with, and Hulk standing on the outside on the top of the ship with a big sword aimed at Earth, just coming right at Earth. Like, that's how the book ends. Like, him on the ship holding the sword waiting to get to Earth.
So he's going to kill all the people?
Yeah, pretty much.
And see, you know what I think?
He's pissed at the Illuminati. And it did a really good job of explaining his rage and his anger at individual in the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible Hulk number 106 was written by this Greg Pak guy, who, and it was penciled by Gary Frank, who did
Mutant Nation. I love Greg Frank.
Yeah, really good. I find it fascinating. See, there's Hulk on the ship just waiting. Mm-hmm. I found this issue fascinating because Hulk's not actually in this issue. He's in the issue in the form of flashback, and I think that it's gonna be hysterical. I don't know if I'm gonna buy every issue in this crossover. Right. I looked at the checklist and it's daunting, but I'm gonna buy Incredible Hulk. And you know,
see, for me, you say Hulk goes to another planet and becomes a gladiator and fights.
Yeah,
I would no interest in that.
Right,
but I think I might be interested in him coming back pissed off the Illuminati.
Exactly.
So
with alien buddies,
it might behoove me to read the prologue, because I have no interest in Hulk fighting.
No, the thing is, if you read the prologue, I think if you read the prologue, you can ultimately get what has happened with Planet Hulk and just move on and dive right into this.
Right.
And Greg Pak is writing this whole thing, orchestrating it. Like he's got his finger on the pulse of Hulk. And actually, there's a lot of talk about when he was in Champions and with Hercules and Iceman and Angel and Black Widow. And it ends with this mysterious kid talking to Hercules and Angel. And it made me remember a time in Marvel when, you know how we're kind of siloed now? There's X-Men, and there's Avengers, and there's Fantastic Four. There was a time in, like, the late 70s, early 80s where, like, mutants were on teams with Avengers, and, like, it didn't really matter. And this really reminded
me
that.
Beast was an Avenger, there was the Defenders.
Yeah, Angel and Iceman were in the Defenders and Champions. Like, I'm kind of excited for that, you know? So, even though I hate this Angel costume, but whatever. So Planet Hulk, I'm on board. So all of you who are curious if any of us are going to be listening to talking about Planet Hulk, I'm your man.
At very least, you, I might do that.
Yeah. Hulk is to me what many Vertigo titles are to Ron.
Sure, fair enough.
I just, it's like anathema to me. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Never have.
But it's fun.
It might be, but I don't.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. So
that's all for the books for the week.
That was quite a week.
Any other books we did not talk about and you want to talk about, you can go to ifanboy.com and go to the Pick of the Week thread and talk about anything else there.
Yeah, but when you get tired of watching reading comics, you can watch a movie.
Yeah.
And you can watch a movie by going to Netflix.
Well, that's super.
Why don't I tell you about it?
Netflix, they've Netflix.com, they've got over 75,000 titles. They've got HD, DVD, and Blu-ray, and if you're into that. They've got no late fees. It's this mail-order DVD thing where you go there, you pick the movies you want, they send them to you, you send them back when you're done watching it. You keep them for as long as you want. Plans start from $4.99 and up. And if you sign up now, you get a free 2-week trial. So go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy. Really important to remember the www. So that's www.
And the / ifanboy.
Yeah, sure, exactly. www.netflix.com/ifanboy.
And if you sign up, you can be our friend.
Yeah,
oh, it's true.
Exactly.
If you go on Netflix, search us out. We're on there. You can join our friend list.
Netflix is the new Facebook.
Moving on.
Listener email time.
All right.
Our first letter is from Benny from Long Island, Ron.
Benny.
He's your friend, probably.
No, it's just from...
Do you know Benny?
I don't know Benny.
He says the article...
We all knew each other.
The article might be different by the time you read this, but on Wikipedia it says Jim Shooter started writing comics at 13. I don't believe that. He probably edited himself to make himself look cooler.
Oh,
no. Do you know the truth?
Oh, Benny, ouch.
That is true. He lied about his age.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah, exactly. And so, Jim Shooter, he could really write the comic books back then, too.
He
did
a
very
brief
good job.
Didn't he do his Legion of Superheroes?
Wasn't it DC?
Yeah,
it was Legion.
Jim Shooter, very important.
Yeah,
it's funny because like he left it sort of a weird thing, and he's sort of known as a, I don't want to say a villain, but he's got some...
he got a mixed roof.
Yeah, but he was real good, and he was really important.
The point is, he absolutely did write comics when he was 13. He sent a proposal in, they didn't know how old he was, he lied about it. He was writing it, by the time they figured it out, he was only 13, it was too late.
Yes. So there. How about you show a little backbone, huh?
Yeah, Benny.
Do some comics.
So our next email comes from Joe, and this is a little long one, but I'm going to read it in its entirety because I think it's important too. A few months back, Joe asked a question on the forums about which comics people would suggest for him to pick up. Well, he did pick up quite a few at his local comic book store, and they were definitely great suggestions. Now, here comes the bad part. This is Joe's voice.
So the forum people were good.
Yes, everybody gave great suggestions. Joe went to the comic store. Here's his tale. I was treated like a complete idiot. I went into the store with a suggestion list. I spoke to the owner, who proceeded to call me a quote-unquote poser. Yeah, poser. And he told me that he didn't have time to help someone who, quote, wasn't serious about comics. I looked around the shop for myself, picked up a few other comics that looked interesting and went to pay for them. While I was waiting to pay the guy, he went on a rant about how the internet has, quote-unquote, destroyed the comic business. Then he just took his comics that I had placed on the counter and put them on the shelf behind me and told me to try somewhere else. Now, I didn't say a single bad thing. I didn't even get upset at his bashing me. I said I'd go somewhere else, and he hit a parting shot on my way out the door by saying, quote, my shop is for fans, not fanboys. So obviously, I'm not going back there again. My questions are... 1. Are most comic shop owners so cliquish that when it comes to their product, it seems to me that he'd want a sale, especially the amount I had there. It was only if only around $100. Not a lot of money, I know, but I felt like it was enough for someone who's trying to get back into comics. 2. Is there a newbie-friendly spot online or somewhere I can go so I can catch myself up on everything related to comics so I won't seem like such a quote-unquote poser?
The second question is heartbreaking.
It's absolutely heartbreaking.
He shouldn't have... God, it's awful.
I want to think that this is an aberrant thing.
I don't, absolutely. I always say that. I always say this, and you guys always catch shit, and then we get emails like this.
Yeah, it's true.
There are more stores like this than there are good stores.
Hey, Joe, can you write in and tell us what store that was?
Yeah.
You know, because that's not how a store should behave. And it actually, you know, it's kind of annoying because that's what gives us a bad name as fans and everything. The thing is that you're absolutely right. I worked in retail. I think we've all worked at some time. You never turn away a sale. I don't care. I mean, like, I worked in a music store where it's even snobbier than comics.
The problem is, it's not snobbishness.
Well, hang on. I would never take someone's CDs away and go, oh, you don't know what real music is like and not sell it to them. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I still think – I've been in a lot of good comic stores.
No, I think there are good comic books.
There are good ones, but just as many good ones are bad ones.
Yeah,
I've been
exactly.
in a ton of bad ones.
I haven't been in a lot of bad comic books stores. I've had luck with them, so I don't know what you're talking. I mean, I've been in ones where, like, the guys who ran them were really cool and knew lots of stuff. Yeah. And I've been in stuff where they didn't talk to me and didn't say anything anyway, so I couldn't tell you one way or another.
Right. But I've been to the really – well, look at Ithaca.
Yeah, but I had the feeling that guy was just kind of ribbing us.
No, I saw that guy treat other people poorly.
Did he?
People work there, yeah. Like, you don't know what you're talking about or whatever, like, kind of dismissive and stuff like that.
Right.
He didn't turn away a sale.
Right.
Joe, write in, let us know what the store is, and also let us know where you live, where you're from, and we'll see if we can get some suggestions of a better store. So.
Because a lot of stores are run by people who want to have a place to hang out with their friends.
Yep.
Yeah, but how are they going to stay in business like that?
They barely do.
$100 is a ton of money at a comic book store.
Exactly.
I mean, like, somebody sells $100 in a day, that's real good for them. So. I don't know. I'm wondering. I'd really love to hear, like, a beat-for-beat note on how it went down. Like, I went in, I said, hey, I want to look for some of these. Is there anything else? Like, I want. Yeah. What would make somebody react like that?
Well, he said he went in with his list and talked to the guy about it, and the guy said he was a poser.
Like, he's not supposed to, like, you're supposed to know. You're not supposed to have a list. Which is just bullshit. Like, you get into it somehow. Like it's. I don't even work at my store. When I hear somebody who says that they're new, I make suggestions to them. You know?
I mean, try
to embrace them, you know? So, but as far as the second question, a newbie-friendly spot online... Just stay with us, dude. Just if you have a question, post on the forums, and everybody will take care of it.
The point is, you shouldn't feel like a poser because you don't know this stuff. That's stupid.
You're not going to seem like a poser.
That
it doesn't matter.
An asshole.
There's absolutely nothing uncool about not knowing about comic books.
Because honestly, that's what's so fun about talking about them.
Yeah.
Is when, like, who is this? And then you hear the whole story.
I know, but, like, if somebody's telling you that you're not okay because don't know every minutiae of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's bullshit. It's fun, but come on. Seriously.
So Joe, get back in touch with us.
Find a different shop. Don't go there again
and firebomb them. No,
John, we didn't say that.
Jesus.
We did not say that. John from Buffalo, New York wrote in, and also Marion E. wrote in with almost the exact same question. So two for one.
All right, two for.
My question is whether or not to invest my year in DC's Countdown. I'm not a DC person. Truly, I'm a Marvel fan. and I didn't pick up 52 at all. But the stuff I've read about Countdown has me interested enough. My true concern is, all will I be able to follow what's going on having not read 52? Mm. That's a question that's come up a lot.
I've got two answers. On one hand, I say, you're a Marvel fan, you don't really know what's going on in DC, yeah, just skip it. But on the other hand, I say, you're interested by it, you're piqued by it, give it a shot. And try it. You know, like, I can go either direction on this.
I have two different answers.
Okay.
But that's going to be four for you if you're counting.
Okay, and then Connor will add two more.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, I mean, if you're going to have to have read 52? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's not out yet, so we can't tell you. Yeah. But, you know, going into 52, I didn't know anything about who anybody was. I still don't. And I had fine time
A good
with
storyteller
it.
Will get
yeah.
the story
and,
across.
You know, that's actually – I'm thinking if this is something that spans the DC universe and has lots of characters and things, it's going to be a really good way to learn about the DC universe.
That's an excellent point because I've learned so much from 52, to be honest
exactly.
with you. I didn't know who Rip the Time Hunter was.
I think you're going to be all right.
I still don't know who he is.
By the first
– Rip the Time Hunter.
You know, Rip Hunter is the thing.
He's the time cop?
His last name is Hunter.
Right, Rip Hunter the Time
Hunter.
Pirate. What's his name?
Time
Rip
cop.
Hunter the Time Pipe Cop.
He watches over the time stream.
Time Rip
It's like Ron Richards, and he watches over the time stream. Rip Hunter is his name.
I don't watch the time stream. Rip Hunter the Time, but he's the time
Why are we talking about this still?
Rip Hunt?
Anyway, just buy
Rip
it.
Hunt? We're 12. I think there's a lot of buyer's remorse people who didn't buy 52.
Yes.
I feel like they're left out.
And I know people who are starting to come out of the woodwork now going, I was waiting for the trade.
Ah, suckers. Yeah, right, you were waiting for the trade.
Yeah, so. Anyway, so.
You buy the first probably 3-4. If you don't like it by then, you probably
you
won't.
You can stop.
Yeah.
That's the
it's
great
okay
thing.
To stop.
Yeah, once just because you sign up, just because you start buying doesn't mean you have to buy the whole year.
Well, what's 3 times 52? So it's $156.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
And take that 50 cents off of it.
Yeah.
From, you know.
So anyway, so John and Marion, there's your advice. Tell us what happens.
There it is. Take it or leave it. What are you going to do?
Michael from Port Jefferson, New York, which is also on Long Island.
Woot. The last one was from Buffalo. Do
we
only have listeners
here? Our first one was from Long Island. Long Island represent. I'm very happy with my Long Island crowd. Thank you.
Do you know Michael?
I know. Me and Michael go way back.
I wonder where Joe's store is. What if it's Long Island?
No, I don't know. Well, Joe didn't say where he's from. Okay, anyway. So Michael from Port Jeff. I had recently been reading Peter Milligan's run on X-Force/X-Statics and realized that I've never really heard you guys mention it on the show. To me, it represents one of the high points of comics in the last 10 years, taking basically a tragic layover of the frightening late 90s and replacing it with something truly revolutionary. Just curious as to what opinion you guys have on it, as I recall it being quite polemic when it first printed, with either people loving it or hating it.
Great word.
Yeah, polemic.
Jesus.
I loved it and hated it. I started out loving it, ended up hating it, because I loved Allred's art. And I hated Milligan's stories.
Then you loved and hated at the same time.
Well, no, because I kind of gave Milligan the benefit of the doubt, but by the end of it, it just I thought it was a great concept, executed poorly.
I wonder if you would have liked it if it wasn't X-Men.
It had nothing to do with X-Men.
Okay.
The only thing that had to do with X-Men was the X. That was
yeah.
it.
I loved it at first, and then I realized it was about a one-note joke.
Exactly.
And then I started getting really, really, really
I bought
bored.
About 6 or 7 of them. Same thing.
It was like, oh, this is really interesting and funny. Oh, this is the same story again and again, and I'm done.
Yeah,
like it was good for about half a year.
Yeah,
I think I think a long time ago it may have been a pick of the week.
Yeah,
first
probably,
one
yeah.
or so.
When it first
it
started, I thought it was a breath of fresh air. And it was amazing and like it was revolutionary. But then towards the end of it, it got really tired.
It didn't, and you probably held on a lot longer. Than
oh,
I
held
did.
On the whole run.
I thought it ran out of steam for me very soon.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's why we don't talk about it, because it doesn't.
And
exist.
Also because it happened 6 years ago, and the podcasting didn't exist. So if you have any questions for us, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. We'd love to get the email
and say where you're from.
Yes, please.
So we can
help you out.
So we can try not to have them all from the same damn place. How does it end up that we have with all Long Island emails, Ron?
I don't know. It's not like I go around Long Island going, hey, email our
podcast. Are these just your relatives?
It's a coincidence. No, I don't really know anyone left on Long Island. It's
from
my
Ron and his computer going, all right, I'll be
Michael
this time.
I'm Port Jeff.
From Massapequa.
So I'm in the mall, and I was walking around, and I said,
and I thought I could get like a really nice Venom shirt, you know, but like have it like be way oversized.
So now the thing is that Michael shops at the Smith Haven Mall. But depending on where Benny's from, he probably shops at the Roosevelt Field.
Alrighty then.
And I shopped at the Walt Whitman. So, anyway. All right, so.
That one has a wicked good Aeropostale.
Why are you doing a Boston?
That's all
accent?
I noticed. That was a Boston.
Yeah, it was. You said a wicked good Aeropostale.
Oh, wicked. Well, the accent.
That was in Spider-Man. Okay.
All right, let's go into.
If you never read X-Statics.
Wheels are coming off.
If you have. Maybe you think X-Statics sounds interesting, you never read it, or. That's a different sponsor.
What?
It's like Comic-Con as you by now.
All right, anyway.
You could still go to Comic Hole, but for this week, why don't you check out youbynow.com,
yeah.
Which is Y-O-U-D-O... I get it now. You were talking about comics when it's about these things. Okay. I'm losing it.
Wow, the wheels. You know what it is? It's the first episode where it's been really hot.
I know. And it really fucking is.
This isn't really hot.
Long-time listeners, original OG fans.
OG iFanboy.
Will remember during the last summer, we spent a lot of time talking about heat.
Oh, fuck
it's
me,
not
it's
even
hot
yet.
It is, dude.
No.
It's hot.
It's not hot yet.
I know.
This is nothing compared to what it's... We're all in the same room.
I've got a heat headache.
But yeah, me too, and I'm starting to get hot under the collar.
Maybe it's because all I've eaten today is cookies. You think that might have something to do with it?
So you buy
cookies
that cookie show, by the way, it wasn't like, hey, it would be funny. That's what they eat. And they're like, I don't know why I don't feel good. I've eaten all these cookies. Those fortify me, right?
All right, so go to youbynow.com and you can get all your action figures and statues and stuff like that. You know, stuff like DC Direct and Marvel Legends and Star Wars figures and the like. So go to youbynow.com, youbynow.com. Check them out today.
Aren't there eggs and cookies? That's dairy.
Are they? No, they're not. Not Entenmann's. Entenmann's also from Long Island. You guys have eaten all those cookies, and it says 25% more
eggs
on
it.
It.
There are no eggs in it. People apparently don't like it when we eat while talking about comics. So,
all right, let's move on to the voicemails then.
Oh, there are eggs, and they're in bold.
Yeah.
Why are some ingredients in bold?
Because they're nutritional.
No, they're not. Wheat flour is involved.
Milk,
involved.
Wheat flour, eggs, this soy
is,
protein.
This is not comic books. You should see my face right now. Like the look of disbelief. Like it's like they just swore at my mother. I'm just like, I can't believe you're doing this.
My All right, head hurts.
Put the cookie down.
Voicemails.
No. Oh, Jesus.
All right, the first one, he's worried.
Hey, this is Eddie from Soledad, California. And I'm just calling because it's like a couple of days before Spider-Man 3 is set to premiere. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel I'm just a little worried about what I've seen. You know, I mean, we've seen the commercials and trailers, and yeah, it looks good overall. But I'm really worried that they just packed way too much stuff. You know, I think back to X3 and the whole Phoenix thing, and it just really a lot of stuff thrown in, and the plot was just horrible, you know. Or I don't know about the plot, but you know, you get the idea. And I just really afraid that they've done the same thing with Spider-Man 3. And I have a lot of worries, and I don't know. I'm wondering if you guys are feeling the same thing. And maybe you guys will have your review special. But I don't know. I was just wondering what you guys are thinking. So anyway, thanks. Love the podcast. See you guys.
This might be time for another iFanboy intervention.
Eddie, it's going to be okay.
Eddie, it's going to be fine.
A, whether this movie is any good or not...
You'll still get up in the morning.
It's not going to affect you in the least. Nothing in your life, if it sucked before, it's still going to suck. If this is what you were hanging on for...
Your life's still going to suck.
Oh, that's totally a joke.
No, I mean, the thing is, and this might be a good time to mention that, in case you haven't noticed already, we did go see Spider-Man 3, and we recorded a podcast about it. If you didn't catch it, if you go back to iTunes or whatever you use for your podcast aggregator, you'll notice it's right under this week's show, so you're going to have to download it manually, and you can hear what we thought about it.
Right, it's not going to be downloaded automatically, so you have to go back and do it yourself.
But the important thing to know is that we all saw it, and some of us liked it, some of us didn't like it, and
they're Connor. Not all the same.
Yeah, we all have different opinions.
We all think the same thing.
Yeah. So, but don't worry, Eddie, it's just a movie. So.
But we spent a half an hour talking about it, so I guess we thought something. Anyway, next up is Aaron, who's bringing it to Connor.
He is, in a roundabout kind of way,
while talking silly.
Bonjour, iFanboy. This is Aaron from Paris. And you wanted a French accent? Well, you got a French accent. So I'm calling Josh, Connor, Aaron. Connor, last week you said that you did not like the Silver Age. Well... You know, do not like the modern age? What is the problem? Every time they try to do something modern with the characters, like Superman or Spider-Man changing their costume, it is nobody like. My question for you is what is the problem? You like the Silver Age, and you said you liked it, and then all of a sudden you say it's bad. Anyway, I screwed up. So there's my question, Poopoo. What is the problem with the modern age?
It's probably important to mention that he also followed up with an email in English.
A long one.
That was English.
Right, but not with an annoying prissy accent. Oh, did I say prissy? Oh, I meant French. God. Jesus.
It's like you know how there's the ultimate nullifier? You're like the ultimate offender.
It was an obvious joke. I really like the French accent.
He even said in his voicemail he couldn't really express his feelings. He's too worried about the accent. So he sent us along a long
email.
His main point being, why would I dislike the Silver Age when everything is the Silver Age?
And the background of this is that you had some gripes about the recent JSA, JLA books, is that they're basically bringing back the Silver Age.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, which
Chum, what do you think?
Jerk.
Well done.
Good one.
And your
his main points really were, you know, anytime they try to modernize a character, it never takes, so therefore that shows that everybody wants the Silver Age. That's completely wrong.
Okay.
Aaron, you're missing the point. The Silver Age is not about the character. It's about a storytelling technique. Mm-hmm. It's the way you write a story. It's a black and white story. There's no moral equivocation. There's no gray area to the storytelling. There's no modern way of telling a story. It's a simple story. It's guys in statues and standing with their hands on their hips and defeating the bad guy. There's no absolutely no way of equivocating.
Yeah, no. I think that's absolutely true. And the other thing about modern approaches not taking, I don't think that's strictly correct, because if you think about it, like whenever they take a character and they change something radically, no, it doesn't usually stick because that's not what people fell in love with. But however, over time, those characters have been added to and chiseled and modernized gently. And right now, the Daredevil that we have is nothing like the Daredevil that existed.
Absolutely,
in the
60s. Modern Daredevil.
He's a modern Daredevil.
That's
but
a
that
great
doesn't
point.
Mean
really
that, that they didn't that. You know, but there was, like, if they didn't give him a crazy costume or something, and that didn't stick.
Armor.
But, you know, like, yeah, exactly. Batman's another one.
Yeah,
know.
He says they made Batman broken back for a year, and they brought him back. That proves people want Silver Age. That doesn't mean anything
at all. No,
that
means that people didn't want the French guy.
Yeah.
Well,
hey!
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
It also means that was duh planned. But it has nothing to do with the characters. It has to do with the writers.
Right.
And how the story's written. Right. And the way the stories are being written now is going back to the simpler time where there's less gray and
there's
less grim and gritty.
They cut off Superman's mullet.
There you go. But yeah, Aaron, it's not about characters. It's about the stories.
And in Aaron's email, he actually asked me, as an X-Men fan, do I ever think the modern approaches to the X-Men will ever be as good as the Claremont Byrne stuff? And that's a no.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with this, because Claremont Byrne was the beginning of the modern age, he asked me. So, yeah.
But the other half of that, though, is that if those stories came out today, you'd be like, these are strange, like, because they're not written the way that they're written. They're not.
I don't know about that. They're really good. They're
I know
really
they're good.
Good.
But
I've been reading them on the bus, and they I think those would hold up now.
You don't think that they exist in the time that they were ahead of the time when they were written, but I think it's one of those things like where they evolved from that point. Those were a very necessary point of having things evolve. But
X-Men were at least 15 years ahead of their time, seriously, in terms of stories and stuff like that.
And then they kept going and then stopped.
Right. Yeah. No.
For a really
they,
long time.
Yeah. Or they're 15 ahead. In 15 years from now, comics are going to suck. So anyway,
I hope not.
But
storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
Okay, so we've got a bit of a celebrity voicemail now.
All right.
So let's hear it.
Hulk wants to know why I fanboy no show Hulk the love. Planet Hulk was good series. When Hulk get back to Earth, Hulk kick I fanboy butt all up and down New York City. Hulk sad.
Yay! That was awesome.
I don't think that was him.
He was sad at the end.
Yeah.
So, if you heard earlier in the podcast, I am reading World War Hulk. So, Hulk, I hope you will call back and tell us that you're satisfied with us. Because I don't want to get smashed. Because I'm a puny human.
Hulk,
I'm actually
like
not that
puny.
But to Hulk, I'm a
you're punier than you used to be.
I'm punier
all
than I used to be.
That's a good
point. Yeah, exactly.
Unless you just keep eating those cookies.
Where are those cookies? So if you have a voicemail and you want to call, or if you have a phone and you want to call us and leave a voicemail, you can call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. Call in and tell us your preferred mall on Long Island.
I've got this voicemail. I don't know what to do with it.
Maybe I could forward it somewhere. Wait a minute. This is a gay sex hotline.
All right. We need more cookies, so we should
wrap
this up.
I seriously have a heat headache.
I don't know why. Let's open the window.
Oh, my God.
Let's
wrap this
show stop
up.
Talking about it and finish the show.
Oh.
So I'm going to hang out with those Around Comics guys. They know how to get stuff done.
Good. You go do that, Josh.
Fine.
They're in a well-ventilated store. We're in a small room.
in Astoria. Whoops.
Oh, our secret location has been revealed. Quick, back to the mall. All right, so I think that wraps it up. So be sure to head to ifanboy.com and check out all the discussion there and the various threads and the pick of the week. Tell us what you thought was good this week and what cookies you like.
Yes, and if you want to send us an email, you can send us an email at contact@ifanboy.com about anything you want. And if it's good, we'll put it on the show and tell us where you're from in the email.
We just talked about leaving a voicemail, so I'm not going to do that again.
Well, but speaking of voicemail, every Wednesday we have a great... Oh, no, am I off my schedule? No, I'm right on schedule. So every Wednesday we have another show, a video podcast, also called iFanboy. And you can see that at revision3.com/iFanboy, or just go to iFanboy.com every Wednesday, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time. And this week, we're talking voicemails.
Yeah, we're doing some voicemails.
So if you haven't heard your voicemail,
we're going to listen to them.
We're going to listen to them.
We're going
to
just talk about the concept.
Remember
voicemail,
we got that call? That was hilarious.
That was funny. Remember when that person called? And that was, yeah. So,
for 30 minutes, it's going
to
be like that.
To revision3.com/iFanboy.
Yes. If you're so inclined and you want to see what happens in the world of ancient iFanboy practices, you can go to the Frapper map, which is frappr.com/iFanboy. And you can stick your pin in there. It's actually really cool because you can look and see where all the other people are and see some of their faces and whatnot. You could go to any of the various spaces. There's too many of these now. Let's see. We've got myspace.com/iFanboy, comicspace.com/iFanboy.
Facebook is not...
You just got to search for us. There's no...
So you go to facebook.com, type in iFanboy. Yeah. There shouldn't be another one. And if there is, let us know. We have to talk to them.
And we'll see.
And then verb, VIRB.com/iFanboy.
And
which
I guess the verb and the Facebook have been exploding.
Yeah. Yes. Because they're bored with MySpace and ComicSpace.
Exactly.
Yeah. So also now on Netflix.
Yeah,
netflix.com/iFanboy.
No, our own personal
right, no,
friend.
But they can sign up and then be our friend.
Also,
in fact, we'll only be friends with people who sign up via netflix.com/iFanboy.
If you want to help us out, you can go to any of the podcast aggregators and vote for us or leave us reviews. You can go to iTunes, whereas we found out Around Comics have pulled way ahead of us, so we would like some more reviews.
Almost not a race.
No, they have more than us, and they know it.
Oh, really?
It's at the end of the show. I said, you guys have 100. We have 80-something. They're like, yeah, we know.
We're up to 90-something.
Okay, well...
Yeah, so get out there on iTunes and write reviews for the audio and the video show.
Yeah, for the video show as well. But
so that Tom Caters can suck it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm picturing his face. No, there it goes.
And if you didn't hear that, you can go to roundcomics.com. You can hear Josh was on both our shows last week.
I had a lot of fun with them.
It was fun, so...
And if you want to donate some cash, you can go to donate ifanboy.com/donations, or you can go to the donate button on the front page of ifanboy.com.
Yep, some donations.
That's far too much.
Donations and voicemails. So if you got them sitting around,
just send them our way. We'll
donate voicemail.
There you go.
A voicemail donation. Let's kill it.
All right, let's open the window. My name's Ron.
I'm Josh.
I am Connor.
And there it is.
Oh,
there's
the
breeze.
Number one.